On the first Lord's Day of the month, we take time to think about a new psalm that we're going to sing all through this month. And that psalm is 6, and we'll be singing 6a later. But I want you to listen as I read it as it appears in the Bible. You can also follow along in your blue psalters. This is Psalm 6. To the chief musicians, with stringed instruments, on an 8-stringed harp, a psalm of David. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. When I read this psalm, you may have been struck by how different this is than what you might think of as psalms of praise. Usually we think of psalms as being full of God's greatness, of His goodness, and we express to the Lord joy and exaltation. There are many psalms that do that. But there are also many psalms like this one that cry out to God in a sense of agony. And as this psalm does, a sense of confession. The psalm opens, in fact, a very difficult subject. In Psalm 6, David speaks about being under some sort of affliction. And that affliction is something that he doesn't just set aside as something that just happened by chance, something that happened randomly, or something that was outside God's control. Instead, he speaks of it as coming from God Himself. And having thought about God and His sovereignty, David is convinced that this is happening as something of a correction for his own sin. And it's here that the subject becomes slightly difficult. A couple of ditches on either side of affliction that we need to be careful of. On one side of the road, we can fall into the ditch of saying that God never sends trials on His people. That trials that happen are either outside of God's will, outside of His control, or something that just happens by chance or random. But that just isn't true. The Bible tells of many occasions when God overrules the afflictions of this life for His own mysterious purposes. Sometimes we find that God says that He tests His children and sends affliction so that they might learn perseverance, or, as in this case, to learn of their sin so that they might confess. So we find that God tested David, that God allowed Satan to test Job and Peter, and that Satan even came and tested Jesus Himself. The Bible is very clear that God does not tempt. That's what the New Testament says. God does not tempt, and He is not the author of evil. But He does ordain trials for your good. And sometimes that test brings conviction of sin. And that's where David is. David, as he meditates on the affliction that he's going through, is convinced of his own sin. And so he says in verse 1, O Lord, do not rebuke me in anger. Do not chasten me in your hot displeasure. rebuke and chasten are words for discipline or correction. And David, as he is convicted of sin, asks God to not be angry, but to correct in a way that is fatherly and gentle. Well, that's one side of the ditch, one side of the road. That's to say that God is nowhere in trials. We affirm that, yes, the Lord is overruling all things that happen. There's another side of the road, too, though. The other side of the road is to say that that every trial that you fall into is somehow God's anger disciplining you for some sin. But this just isn't true either. In the New Testament, we have a very important example of a man who was born blind. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus says very clearly, "Neither one." This affliction, this blindness did not come upon the man because of his sin, because of a specific sin that God was judging. Instead, Jesus said, it happened so that the works of God should be revealed in him. And Jesus went on to heal him. So we need to be reminded that not every trial is correction from sin. There is a middle road. And that middle road is that God acts in all things. That God acts even in affliction. We don't always know his mysterious purposes in those afflictions. But you can rest in this knowledge that God is there and that he has good purposes for all of his children. So for David, as he meditated on his specific affliction, he was convicted of sin. And that leads us to say it's right in affliction to ask God, "Lord, what purpose do you have for me in this trial? Have I sinned? And if so, please show me. If I have not sinned, O Lord, give me grace to live in the midst of this." In this case, David understood that he had sinned. And so, look at how he treated that. David was not casual about his sin. David was very concerned about what was going on in his life. You can feel the passion with which he speaks. "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." He asked God to turn away his righteous anger against his sin and to have mercy. He asked it with earnestness. He describes himself as being weak in his body, as being troubled in his soul, weary and groaning, weeping over his sin. And it's that attitude about our sins that David rightly leads us to understand that when we sin, we are offending a living God, and it's right for us to be troubled about it. At the same time, David doesn't brush it off as just being something that, as a Christian, he knows that he's forgiven and, "Oh well, I messed up." Neither does he say, I have sinned grievously, and this is beyond any repair. So he doesn't despair. David goes to God and he asks for forgiveness. Without excuses, without trying to push it away, he humbly asks God for mercy. The great thing is that God has shown us mercy. And in the psalm, when you sing asking God for mercy for yourself, I want you to think about Jesus. Because that's the source of mercy. God sent his Son to die on the cross for your sins. So he can be merciful to you by taking the punishment you deserve and giving it to Jesus. This cry of mercy of David's is a cry for every believer, because we all sin and we all fall short of the glory of God. Even after becoming Christians, we still sin, and we need this psalm to lead us to repent, to be understanding about the weight of sin, but even more to understand the weight of glory and the mercy of God in Jesus Christ. I hope as you sing this, you will recognize those words of John Newton, "I am a great sinner, but I have a great Savior, Jesus Christ." Let's sing these words together. We'll be using the A selection of Psalm 6. Let's please stand together to praise the Lord.